We're starting a series on faith today. And yes, and I want to read something to you that I wasn't going to do, but I am now. It's in Jeremiah 23, I believe. It says this: "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" And that's my prayer for this series, that it will be like a fire in your soul. There's a song about that, isn't there? And we sing, down in my soul. Yeah, I love that song. That it would be like a fire in our soul, and it would be like a hammer to our thinking. Not that it would beat us up, but it would shape us into a people, I believe, we're called to be of faith. So, you know what it is when God says and gives you things to preach on? Then he tests you in that first. And I'm sharing this from my heart. And this is as much to me as it is to anyone else here. And it's still molding and it's still shaping. And don't worry about Peter. Let's not lose the focus. Andy and Jane, can you go over? And so, don't worry, he's done this before. But what it will do is it will attract us to him. And it's not him. So, Lord, we just say, just bring peace to Peter. And Lord, we just ask you, let your kingdom be sovereign here. Okay? So let's not be distracted by what's going on. Okay? So where are we going to do this series in faith? We're going to do it in Hebrews 1. But more than that, we're going to do it in Hebrews 11. we're going to do it in Hebrews 11, verse 1. But not just in verse 1, we're doing all of Hebrews 11. So, these are the verses that I've got today. So, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So, why are we doing this series on faith? Well, the first thing is, see, our crossing into the promised land, our going into the center, this journey that we've been on isn't the end. It's the beginning. This is the beginning of our faith journey. So just like with the Israelites, and I'm still getting my head around this, I'm still getting my head around this. So when God was with them in the desert, God went before them. But when they crossed that Jordan, God went with them. God was with them. He was getting them to walk round the walls of Jericho. So, Andy and Jane, perhaps it'd be best if you could possibly take Peter out. That would probably be, can you get him to? Yeah. Okay. Right, so there's a difference in the relationship between in the promised land and in the desert. So I want you to know that we're on the start of a faith journey, not the end of a faith journey. And as with Joshua, when God said, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That would make a good song, that, wouldn't it? It would, yeah. And just as Jesus said to the disciples, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The promise to them and the promise to us is God is with us. And when the presence of God is with us, he is present to make possible the impossible tasks that are in front of us. So I say to everyone in this room, don't forget that in regards to the center. So when it comes to rooms, when it comes to space, when it comes to finances, when it comes to the challenges that we will face, when it comes to the lease, when it comes to purchasing that building, we have to remember the promise. God is with us. He goes before us. In fact, actually, it's only because of him that we're there in the first place. So what am I saying? Don't compromise. Don't compromise because we will face a wall. Don't compromise because we will face finance. Don't compromise because we will face shortage of space. Don't compromise because this room doesn't look like how we think this room should look. We go back to God brought us here. God will lead us on. God will provide everything for us. Thank you, Romania. Amen. That is an amen. But it's a step at a time. That's what faith involves. It's a step at a time. We are not to be stationary people. That's not our calling. That's not our nature. We are to be a people of faith. And as people of faith, we must not let our standard of this word become what our experience is. Not bring it down to what we know, what we've experienced. We're to live this book continually as a way and a life of faith. So faith is an integral part of our relationship with God and the kingdom culture that he is cultivating. And the second reason we're looking at a series on faith. Do you remember I had that picture in the... I found this a few week, this week, and I had a picture about this in the prayer meeting some weeks back. So, well, I just thought you might like to know that. Well, when I say this, faith is a journey. It's a way of life. Faith is not a destination, neither is it a project, and neither is it something we turn to at certain times. Faith is a way of life. Thank you. I thought they were going to do the dance that we planned, but not just yet. Okay. All right then. So, the key to living a life of faith goes back to our identity in who we are in Christ. See, most people can see their weakness. Who can see their weakness? Yeah. Their proneness towards sin and their inability to be like Jesus. That doesn't take faith. I can guarantee you most people will tell me that. Confessing that truth doesn't require any faith at all. But Paul commands us in Romans 6:13. Oh, that's what. Oh, hang on. Romans 16. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. In considering ourselves dead to sin, means we must believe God. We therefore, in our weakest state, declare, I am strong. So agreeing with God, regardless about how we feel, we discover the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without faith, God says it's impossible to please him. That's why our life has to be a life of faith. So the first place that faith must be exercised is in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. When you gave your life to Christ, you entered a life of faith. Whether you liked that or not. But actually you did. You had to step out in faith to accept him. You had to step out in faith to move in that life. So if Jesus paid the ultimate price to make it possible for us to have identity, shouldn't we be living in the fullness of that new identity? And the boldness we need is not self-confidence, but the confidence that the Father has in the work of his Son in us. What his Son is doing in us. See, it's no longer a question of heaven or hell. It's only a question of how much of hell will you let into this heavenly mind that God has given you. How much will we let Satan in into what Christ has already won? And I came across this quote. It says, maturity comes from faith in the sufficiency of God's redemptive work. that establishes us as sons and daughters of the Most High. Now, one of the kingdom principles of Christian life involves facts, faith, and feelings. The principle is you always put your faith in God's facts and let your feelings come along after. See, God's promise, his word, this is my fact in my life. That's fact, isn't it? Yes, that's truth. That's fact. So, I believe that. That's my faith. I believe the fact of the living word. Then my feelings follow on after. In everything, if there's an outpouring of the move of the Spirit, if it looks a holy mess, in everything there's godly order. And it's no less with this. There's always facts, there's always his word, that faith comes, that feelings follow. See, facts is the foundation. Faith is what we rest upon, the fact. And feelings come last. So the joy I get from this word, the feeling of that joy, comes out of the fact that I'm believing what God says about me. The trouble and the problem is when we change the godly order. If we step out in faith that's not based on fact of what God sees us, what he says about us, what he does in our lives, we'll hit problems. And probably more of a common problem is that we step out or we go by the circumstance of our feelings. And we let feelings dictate our circumstance and how we feel, rather than the fact, and rather on that fact, stepping out in faith. So, as you saw earlier, what is faith? Well, the Hebrew word translated as faith means to nourish, to make firm and strong. It is perhaps better translated as faithfulness, loyalty, and obedience in something, rather than belief in something. So the whole nature of faith implies a relationship with God that is current, with an emphasis on the hearing in the now. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes having heard. It says faith comes from hearing. And until we act on what we know, on what we've heard, what we've read, our knowledge will be nothing more than a theory. We have to act on what God says to us in his word. Now, I went with Dave Barnsley last Tuesday to meet with a guy called Dave Connolly. I want Eric and Andy to meet up with him, and he's going to come and do some things in our church for us. He's going to do an encounter weekend at some stage, and he's going to do a healing weekend. And you say, well, who's Dave Connolly? Well, that's why I want you to meet him first. But he leads, well, he's just stepping back. He leads a church in Liverpool called Frontline Church. And while we were sitting in Liverpool Cathedral's cafe, he starts giving me, us, the church, a prophetic word over a coffee. And he says this, he says, I believe that you're going to be facing a Jericho situation in your journey. Now, he doesn't know all these prophecies about Joshua that we seem to be continuously having. He says, what stands before you will be imitating, large, tall, and deep. Yet in your obedience, so in your faith, we will see God bring it down and move into the promises over us. Now, he didn't know I was going to be speaking on faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. Faith is a settled confidence in the future, in something that is not yet seen, but has been promised by God. And it will come to pass, because God will bring it about. Faith has its anchor in the unseen. We've said that before. And it lives from the invisible towards the visible. So our faith is not anchored in something physical. It's anchored in the heavenly thrones. It's anchored at the Father's feet. Biblical faith is a confident trust in our eternal God, a God who is all-powerful, infinitely wise, and eternally trustworthy. Same God who revealed himself through his word and through his son upon the cross. That's the one we trust. That's the one we trust, whose promises have proven true from generation to generation, and who has said, never. Some of you need to hear this morning. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Never. And that's not a feeling. That's a truth. That's what God says. And if you can't feel him this morning, then you go and stand on the truth. You stand on the truth of who he is, what he says about you. And you might not feel it, but it's truth. So it has to have an effect. It has to have an effect on you because it's truth and it will come in. So in faith, I believe that truth. I might not feel that truth, but I believe that truth. In faith, I take that step and I hold on to that truth. See, we are born again by the grace through faith. For it is by grace we've been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. See, never, faith was never intended just to get us into the family. Faith is the nature of the life we live as family. And we all face faith issues each and every day. And that's not because you're weak, and it's not because you're not in relationship with God. That is the nurture of the life that we live. That is what we're called to live in faith. Faith sees, it brings his kingdom into focus. And it brings all the Father's resources, all his benefits are accessible through faith. Faith in my voice. Faith grabs hold of the reality of the kingdom and forcefully and violently brings it into collision with this natural one. See, faith speaks against everything that we see in this world because it's kingdom. The Father lives and rules and reigns over generation over generation. His ways and our ways. And then we say, yeah, I know that. And then we wonder why he's not doing what everyone else is doing down here and why this is not working out. No. He brings that faith through that anchor. See, Jesus encourages us in our capacity to see when he says, seek first his kingdom. He didn't say seek the world first and you'll find me in it. He said seek his kingdom first. And Paul teaches us in Colossians 3, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's faith again. So you're taking the fact, you're taking the truth of that, and you're placing your faith on that. And hey ho, your feelings will follow along after that. It is our faith that connects what is available to the circumstances at hand. Faith takes what is available and it makes it actual. Faith is like that bridge that we saw earlier. It always brings the eternal into the here and now. This is kingdom. Kingdom is not like this world. This is not how God intended this world to be. So, while we may find faith difficult to explain in words, it's faith's activity that tells us the most about it. It's only when we look at what faith does that we truly understand what faith is. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. That's faith's activity. Works. It's what gives faith meaning. Faith's primary activity is knowing God and learning to trust him with all our lives, all our hurts, and all our hopes. And the activity of faith is intensely practical. It's not something that's super spiritual. It's intensely practical. And it is in our everyday experiences. Faith and works can be seen like two sides to a coin. Our behavior will reveal what we really believe. And what we really believe will become manifest in our behavior. So, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So if the word says, be in the habit of meeting together, don't let your circumstance or feeling stop you from meeting together. It goes back to fact, faith and feeling. You've got to go back to the fact first. If you only go back to your feeling, that's why we don't meet up in the habit of meeting together. Because your feelings are dominating where you're going. Fact, the word, what God says. What Jesus says about you. What Jesus says in us meeting together. That is what we step out in faith in the circumstance that we are feeling at that time. Okay, so we've looked at what faith is. What is, well, faith is not. I wanted to find what faith isn't. I couldn't find any without on, so I had to put that one up instead. Okay, faith is not optimism. When someone says to you, you just got to believe, you just got to believe, though they may be sincere, that isn't faith. That's optimism. See, the dictionary defines optimism as the optimistic feeling, and here we go with feelings again, feeling that all is going to turn out well. You know, you can be optimistic and step off a cliff and just think everything's going to feel that everything's going to turn out well. Well, I can tell you with a thud that isn't going to happen. See, I can believe, I'm stepping over the chicken line. I can believe all day and all night, can I? A chair will hold me up if I stand on it. And I can walk round it. I could say, yeah, I can believe that. You know, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling. The only way that I know in faith if that chair is going to support me or not, if I stand on it. Thank you, Father. Never work with animals, children, or chairs, I was told. But you see, until you step out, it's just optimism. Oh, I hope. You've got to believe that chair will support you, Richard. Well, I'm not going to know until I stand on it. Thank you, chair. Okay. Faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. That's not faith. It's the belief that God will do what is right. That's a big difference. But it's life-changing because you trust him. Faith is not some vague hope in an imaginary wishful thinking. It's not a Disney film. You know, it's not stardust everywhere. It's an anchor that is in the heavenlies that comes into the visible. Biblical faith is not blind trust in the face of contrary evidence. It's like the cliff thing again. It's not saying, well, actually, yeah, there's a cliff and there's a 200-foot drop. I can see that. That's fact. But actually, I'm going to step off of that because I believe in faith. That's not what it's about. Neither is it an unknowable leap into the dark. You always know what your step of faith is because it's before you and it's before God. So you know, I know there's probably thousands of steps of faith that are in this room that need to be. You know what that step is. It's not something that's dark and mystical. Because God wants to take that step with you. And neither is it the absence of doubt. Yeah, there's doubt. Don't get me wrong. It's not about being a robot. We're in relationship. There's going to be doubt. There's going to be churning, like Jacqueline said earlier. There's going to be that. But all those, we rest on faith, which rests on the word of God. And so, yeah, there may be doubt. But it's the presence of obedience, of faith, that is important. And we may not always feel we have great faith.
But we can always faith.
I seem to have gone off. Oh, yeah, thank you, Scott. I trusted you and believed you. That was coming back there, Scott. So thank you. So we may not always feel we have great faith. But it's not about that. It's about stepping out in obedience about what the Father says. Do you know where Satan loves you to be? In unbelief. He'll do anything to keep you there because he knows the potential that's in you when you step out in faith in the Father. See, unbelief is safe because it takes no risks. Chicken line, it doesn't even know what the chicken line is. It feels cozy. It feels comfortable for a while. But it's not the place we're created to be. And you know, if we live in that place of unbelief and stay there because we feel it's safe, we'll take no risks, you will get what you expect from there. Nowhere. Nothing. Nothing will change. We're built, we're created to be people that step out in faith. Faith doesn't deny a problem exists. Again, it's not being this over there when the situation's here. It's not denying that a problem doesn't exist. But what it does do is it denies it a place of influence. It denies that problem a place of influence. And there's a big difference in that. And then there's a quote I would love to say it was by, but it just said a Mr. Unknown author. So I don't know who he is. It says, faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out. So, fear of appearing to live in denial is what keeps many from faith. Why is what anyone thinks so important to you that you'd not be willing to risk all in trusting God? Why is what anyone thinks so important to you that you're not willing to risk all to trust God? See, people of faith are realists. It's just that foundation is in a superior reality. It's in a kingdom reality. And as Christians, it's abnormal not to have an appetite for the impossible. That's our way of life because we have to be dependent on our Heavenly Father. It's been written into our spiritual DNA to hunger for the impossibilities around us, that they would bow to the name of Jesus, that we would see these walls come down because of our walk and our obedience in faith in a God who is a God of the impossible. And as we walk this journey of faith, as we're learning to live this life of faith, I encourage you to nurture your longing for something more. Don't accept this world on its terms. Don't you let this world influence you. You were born to influence this world. So let your longing for something more turn into something more. Let your longing for something more turn into the kind of faith that creates something more. Turn your longings for something more into faith and turn your faith into actions. And at Journey's End, may our testimony be that we are commended for being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Amen. Okay, I'd like you all to stand, please. And just close your eyes for a minute. What are you facing in your life at this time that requires you to take a step of faith? It doesn't require your feeling. That, I would, without a word of knowledge, would suggest that is probably already there. But what does the Father say? What does his word say about that circumstance that you're facing and you're in? What does the word say about that place that you feel you are? Well, the encouragement from the Father today is to apply faith. What I mean, be obedient to the Father today. And actually, some of you might just want to take a step forward in doing that. I don't mean out to here. I mean, just take a step forward. Because, like we've said, faith without works is dead. So you might feel a million things this morning, but what does the Father say about you? What does he say about your circumstance? Okay, you take that. You take that truth, then you lay faith on that. And now in obedience, you step out in that. Yeah, that feeling might be there, but actually, it's the truth and the faith that's leading you, not your feelings. So Lord, you know the situations in this room. You know the circumstances. Now I ask you, Lord, let your spirit come. Let people know, let hearts know of the anchor that is in the invisible this morning, that is connecting to them now. So Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, as we journey on this series in faith, increasingly work in us being a people that live lives of faith, both individually and corporately. May we not compromise. Lord, I pray the chicken line will be a common phrase in this church, in the fact of, I've crossed that this week. I've stepped over it this week. Not because I feel it. Not even perhaps because the situation has changed. But God has done something in me that has stirred obedience and faith in my heart. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.